our attendees and do roll call?
Absolutely.
Wonderful. Thanks. So let's bring the public participants into the meeting, please.
Okay, Madam President, the webinar has been started. The attendees are joining in and we are recording and broadcasting. The floor is yours.
Wonderful. Thank you. I'll just pause for a moment. Make sure that I can see our attendees. Okay, good morning and welcome to the May 14th, 2025 teleconference meeting of the California Fish and Game Commission. Zoom webinar and telephone participants, which is everyone, have been placed on mute. Other than the panelists. So when it's time for members of the public to provide comments, we'll provide instructions about how to indicate that you would like to speak to that agenda item. The speakers will be unmuted individually. So please listen carefully to the technical notes from our executive director. And with that, I'll hand it over to Melissa for technical notes.
Thank you so much, President Zavaleta. Note for members of the public, if you are joining by phone and wish to speak to an agenda item, staff will identify you by the last three digits of your telephone number. If you are participating via Zoom webinar and calling in by phone, make sure that your phone number and your Zoom webinar are linked. If you logged into Zoom first and used the Call Me option, the linkage happened automatically. If you are having technical difficulties with the meeting, please contact IT@agpvideo.com. Again, that's IT@agpvideo.com or 805-801-3576 if needed. Zoom's chat feature is disabled for two-way communication, though the co-host may share information with attendees.
Thanks, Melissa. David, would you like to call roll call, please, to establish a quorum?
Yes, Commissioner Anderson.
Aye. Here.
Commissioner Squire.
Here.
Commissioner Hassler-Carmison. Vice President, Vice President Murray.
Here.
President Zavaleta.
Here. And we have a quorum. So I have here on my agenda that I want to just take a moment to introduce myself and also to introduce the commissioners, or maybe I'll just ask them to introduce themselves. We do have some participants in person today, as well as the folks who are joining by Zoom. And I'll just start by saying that I'm President Erica Zavaleta of the commission. I joined the commission 4 years ago and delighted to be here and able to participate with you all, and turn it over to Vice President Murray.
Oh, yes. Hi, I'm Vice President Murray. I'm here at Scripps Institution of Oceanography. I've been on the commission for 6 years.
Hi, I'm Eric Sparr. I'm in Sonoma, and I've been on the commission for, I think, over almost 10 years.
And I'm Commissioner Darius Anderson, and I've been on the commission for just a year. I'm the newest member.
Wonderful. Thanks. And I am in Santa Cruz, California today. And I'll turn it over to Melissa to introduce staff and department leadership who are participating today.
Thank you so much again, President Zavaleta. My name, again, is Melissa Miller-Henson, Executive Director of the California Fish and Game Commission. Joining us here today in Sacramento are your legal counsel, Mike Yon, your wildlife advisor, Ari Corman, your deputy your deputy executive director, David Bissell, Kelsey Laird, our executive assistant, Jen Bacon is our CISA and regulatory analyst. And then joining us online, we have David Haug, who is one of our regulatory analysts, and Dixie Van Allen, our new program manager, Cynthia McKeith, one of our staff service analysts, and Jessica Shaw, our seasonal clerk. Yes, seasonal clerk. Thank you. From the California Department of Fish and Wildlife, our primary partner in the work that we do every day, we have joining us here in the meeting room, Assistant Chief for Law Enforcement Division, Robert Pelsman. Thanks for being with us. And then online, I believe we have Director Chuck Bonham and Deputy Director for Wildlife and Fisheries Division, Chad Dibble, who is our primary contact and liaison between the commission and the department. We have Fisheries Branch Chief Jay Rowan. And then joining us also from the Marine Region is Dr. Craig Schumann. So for those who are not familiar with the California Fish and Game Commission, this is the 156th year of operation for the commission in partnership with the California Department of Fish and Wildlife. Both of our organizations originated from a board of fish commissioners in 1870. The commission's goals include preserving our wildlife heritage and conserving our natural resources through informed decision-making. These meetings are vital in achieving those goals, and in that spirit, we provide the following information to be as effective and efficient toward that end. We are operating under the Bagley-Keene Open Meeting Act, and these proceedings are being recorded and broadcast. In the unlikely event of an emergency, please note the location of the nearest emergency exit at your location. Items may be heard in any order pursuant to the determination of the presiding commissioner. Today, that's President Zavaleta. The amount of time for each agenda item may be adjusted based on time available and the number of speakers. If you're here in the in-person location, speaker cards need to be filled out legibly and turned in before the start of the agenda item. If you are online or on the phone, you will receive instructions in a few minutes. We will ask how many speakers we have before taking public comment, so please be prepared and listen closely for your name or phone number to be called. When you speak, please state your name and any affiliation. Please be respectful and note that disruptions will not be tolerated. Time is precious, so please be concise. To receive meeting agendas and regulatory notices about those subjects of interest to you, please visit the Commission's website, www.fgc.ca.gov, and sign up for our electronic mailing list. If you want the Commission to consider a regulation change, all petitions for regulation change must be submitted in writing. Of course, there's a form of FGC1, which is available on the Commission's website or directly from staff. For members of the public, if you have access to the internet and are not planning to make public comment, you may listen to the meeting via our regular webcast, again, by visiting the Commission website, www.fgc.ca.gov, and the link to that will be on the right side of the page. A reminder to please silence your mobile devices and computers to avoid interruptions. And then, again, we mentioned that there's a webcast. If you're watching remotely and don't plan to comment, you can use that opportunity. There's obviously in-person participation. For those here in Sacramento, again, if you want to speak on an item, please submit your card in advance of that item. We do have President Zavaleta, two members of the public here today. And third, you can participate in the phone or webinar. You choose that option. We will be asking you to raise your hand at the beginning of the agenda items. So do please listen carefully because the announcement and the time to raise your hand for the agenda item will be short. Again, at the beginning of each agenda item. And for each agenda item, the commission will take public comment first at the 5 in-person locations and then via Zoom and phone. Thank you.
Thanks so much, Melissa. And thank you in advance, everyone, for your patience as we move through the 5 locations every time that we need to ask for something. So before we start the first agenda item, I want to ask elected officials and tribal council members or their representatives who are participating in the meeting in person and want to introduce themselves to do so. You can feel free to join staff or commissioners at the table if you haven't already to introduce yourselves. And when you do, please share your name, your title, the tribe or district or official you represent, and which agenda item or items you wish to speak to today. We'll ask that you hold those comments that you would like to make for when we do get to the relevant agenda items. And right now is just the chance to introduce yourself. So we'll start here in Santa Cruz. We'll move to Trinidad, Sonoma, La Jolla, and then Sacramento. Here in Santa Cruz, we have no elected officials. Trinidad, do you have any elected officials?
No, we do currently.
Okay. Sonoma, Commissioner Sklar and Anderson, do you have any elected officials? And I should have had elected official or tribal representatives.
No.
Okay. La Jolla?
No elected officials or tribal representatives or anybody.
Okay. And Sacramento in the resources building, do you have anyone at this time?
No elected officials or tribal representatives. Thank you.
Okay, and then we'll go to the webinar. So for elected officials and tribal council members or their representatives who are in the meeting by phone and want to introduce themselves, please raise your hand if you're using a phone by pressing *9 one time only, so that if you press it twice, you'll remove yourself from the queue. And if you're in the Zoom webinar, you can raise your hand using the Zoom raise hand feature. And I'll just give you a moment to find that in case you haven't. I am not seeing any hands quite yet. But David, if there are any who've raised their hands at that point, you can give them a chance to introduce themselves. And I don't see any in the list. So we'll continue. All right. Having no other introductions to make, we'll go to the first agenda item, which is to consider approving the agenda and the order of items. Do we have any recommendations or requests to change the order of items and the items on the agenda from staff? From commissioners? Okay. So we'll approve the agenda. I don't think we need a vote on this one. Seeing no objection, I'm going to keep moving. All right. And the next item on the agenda is the consent items. And I will turn it back over to Melissa to explain how to make comment today.
Okay. I'm going to abbreviate this since we just talked about this a moment ago.
Thank you.
Here in Sacramento, I think our speakers have already submitted their cards. Thank you very much for folks who are in the other locations. If you have visitors who plan to speak, please make sure you've submitted a speaker card. We will call two or more speakers at a time. You may join commissioners at the table when your name is called, noting that the exact order is not important. If you're participating via Zoom or phone, you will have an opportunity for 2 minutes to raise your hand at the beginning of each agenda item. So for this agenda item, it's consent. If you raise your hand by 10:19, to let us know that you would like to speak on this item. Again, 10:19, if you want to speak to the consent item, white sturgeon emergency sport fishing during California Endangered Species Act candidacy. Items are placed on the consent calendar because they are expected to be routine and non-controversial. Consent calendar items are generally voted upon without discussion, but commissioners may choose to remove and discuss an item, including being requested by a member of the public or staff. If you're on the phone and wish to raise your hand, press that *9 once and alert us. Again, twice will take you out. Zoom webinar, that raise hand button is at the bottom of the screen, but it may be in the reactions. You have to, I think you have to find it under reactions. Once you raise your hand, please do not lower it. Staff will collect the names of all participants who have raised their hands. And once that information is collected, they will lower all hands at one time. Staff will then call names from the list. So please, again, listen carefully for your name to be called. Again, if you're on the Zoom or phone and need to, or would like to provide a comment on the consent item, please raise your hand by 10:19 a.m. and leave it raised. And we'll begin with public commenters in person, then move to commenters on the phone or Zoom webinar.
Thanks, Melissa. So the staff lead on agenda item 2, white sturgeon emergency sport fishing during the California Endangered Species Act candidacy, is Ari. And while we're waiting for that 10:19 deadline, I'll turn it over to you, Ari, to introduce the item.
This item is to consider adopting a second 90-day extension of emergency regulations for the recreational take of white sturgeon in inland and ocean waters. And that's really all I have for that.
Great. And we have Jay Rowe and the Fisheries Branch Chief from the CDFW. If there are any questions, we've reached 10:19. I don't see hands raised in Zoom. But I'll ask whether, let's see, do we have any speakers in person at any of the in-person locations for this item?
No.
Okay.
Not in Sacramento,
not here in Santa Cruz. Okay. And not in Trinidad? I'll make sure since I can't see.
No, we don't.
Okay. So we have no speakers on that item. Seeing no speakers, we can move to commissioners if there's anything at all, or else I can entertain a motion.
I'll move that the commission adopts the staff recommendation for item 2 on the consent calendar.
Second.
So we have a motion from Commissioner Sklar, a second from Commissioner Anderson. Let's do the roll call, please.
Commissioner Sklar?
Aye.
Commissioner Anderson?
Aye.
Vice President Murray?
Aye.
President Zavalletta?
Aye. So the motion passed the item. Sorry, the motion passes unanimously. And with that, we can move to item 3, falconry. And this is to discuss proposed amendments to falconry regulations. And I will turn it over to Ari to introduce this. You know, I'm going to actually turn it over first to David to read the public comment script so that we can start that timer. And then we'll go to Ari.
Thank you, President Zavalletta. Good morning. If If you'd like to speak on item three, falconry, please raise your hand now, no later than 10:22. If you're participating in person, you should have already submitted your comment card, your speaker card to the staff table. If you're on the Zoom webinar, use the raised hand button to raise your hand and keep it raised. If you're on phone only, please use *9 to alert us that you'd like to speak. Again, if you want to speak on item three, falconry, please raise your hand no later than 10:22. Once you raise your hand, please do not lower it. Staff will collect your name and lower them all at once. Please raise your hand now, no later than 10:22. Thank you. The Commission has proposed amendments to the falconry regulations for the purpose of conforming certain provisions with recent court orders and to comply with federal falconry regulations. Additional background information can be found in the meeting materials under Exhibit 1. This is the discussion hearing, and the adoption hearing is scheduled for the June meeting.
Okay, thanks, Ari. Let's just check in about whether we have speakers in person at any of our in-person sites. Trinidad, do you have any speakers? We'll take that as a no. Anyone else? Vice President Murray, Sacramento, Commissioners Anderson and Sklar? No in-person speakers. Okay. And it's up.
Yes, we do.
We do in Sacramento.
You have an in-person speaker.
We have two in Sacramento.
Two. Okay. Great. Well, we'll go 2 minutes. It looks like we have perhaps somebody also in the Zoom, although that hand seems to have gone down. David, do we have additional speakers on Zoom?
We have one speaker on Zoom.
One. Okay. Well, let's go. This is the discussion hearing. Let's go 3 minutes, and we'll start with the in-person folks in Sacramento, please.
You guys just want to go here, that way they can get your
recording. Or do you want
to sit here and
thank you
for the 3 minutes? That way they can capture your voice.
I have an exhibit.
Okay.
Who do I get that to?
We got it. Got some more exhibit there.
Okay. So I would urge commissioners to table or change this proposal from the department at this time, because it does not achieve any of its goals, and there are also problems with items of fact. It stated that the federal regulations require the change to not allow out-of-state tests. That is untrue. My exhibit demonstrates that. There's discussion with the administrator from the federal government, Joel E. Pagel, goes by Jeep. He's a PhD who administers falconry federally, and in that discussion in my exhibit explains that although he's disappointed that people are taking advantage of a free test instead of paying for the California test, there is nothing in the federal regulations, regardless of the fact that that David Keene said that it is required, it is not required. And in fact, it may make the change may make California regulations out of compliance by not having reciprocity with other states. Additionally, the California test has errors, which, unlike what David Keene said in last month's meeting, has not been addressed. Nobody has reached out to me to asked for the details of what I'm complaining about. And the complaints, as you can see from the exhibit that I brought, go back over 4 years, during which time nothing has been done about the mistakes on the test. The test could be, as this meeting is being held online, the test could be given online, just like other states do, which is the attraction that people are taking to use tests from other states, which are free online, and test their knowledge so that they can become falconers. And so there are problems with the California test. Oh, and most importantly, there are no provisions in the California falconry test for Americans with Disabilities Act accommodations. that has not been addressed in the 5 years that I've been asking for it. Or if it has been, I haven't been told, even though I have asked, including by public records request. The exhibit that I brought is actually information that California did not give me from public records request, but Wisconsin did give me the information, including contact to and from California Fish and Game representative, Fish and Wildlife representatives. Furthermore, the other item that is a problem. Did you want me to keep going or am I done?
That's time. So I'll have to ask you to hold the rest of your comments and we'll go to the next speaker, please.
And face which way for the starting. My name is Peter Stavrianodakis. I am the primary litigant in the lawsuit Stavrianodakis et al. Versus U.S. and California Fish and Wildlife regarding the falconry regulations, specifically the clause that allows for unannounced inspections, which are basically an illegal search, unconstitutional, in violation of our Fourth Amendment rights. It has been represented to commission meetings in the past that changing this will eliminate California from having falconry regulations. That's a complete falsehood, because in that same, very same meeting, they proposed changing the California regulations, modifying the First Amendment issue, for which this commission and the Department of Fish and Wildlife has spent over $460,000, $175,000 of which went to my attorney's Civic Legal Foundation, a nonprofit. I think that at this time, these proposed regulations were set forth to eliminate or alleviate the issues regarding searches and seizures. They do not. They will not eliminate the lawsuit. They will not eliminate my presence here and at every other possible commission meeting, because they do not address the issue. They eliminate the warning that by signing this document, you're giving up your rights. But by signing this document, you actually acquiesce to giving up your rights. So when they said they wrote this to accommodate the appellate court's decision that they found this offensive, what they found offensive was the regulation, not the warning that there is a regulation. I think this is the most cowardly thing that the legal representatives of California Fish and Wildlife could do, is to stall a now 8-year-old case with this pending change that will not alleviate the primary clause, which is the search and seizure issue. And we were told at two meetings ago that no unannounced inspections have been done since the litigation has begun, and warrants have been issued when necessary, and they've been carried out. You don't need to surprise a falconer. You can gather facts, make a phone call. I'm an attorney of the Public Defender's Office, almost 20 years in. It's a cakewalk to get a search warrant if there's illegal activity. But eliminating this eliminates a judge's scrutiny over the probable cause of entering someone's home, or by changing the rule saying it can't be in your house, the actual entire yard, the fenced-in enclosure, is equally protected by the Fourth Amendment. I invite you, Commission, this is your chance to speak to the litigant, to ask me questions. I am happy to answer those if there's any on your mind. Don't throw away another $500,000 on this case and lose, because you will.
All right. And I believe we have one speaker online.
We do. We have one speaker online. That is Doug Alton.
Are there any questions before you dismiss me?
I think what we'll do is we'll take all of the public comments. And then the first thing I want to do is give department an opportunity to respond.
Thank you.
Doug Alton, go ahead, please.
Yeah, I want to speak to the same issue that Peter spoke to. We have brought this up to the department since 2014, and in 2016, ad nauseum, we asked, we begged, we pleaded, we asked you not to put these regulations in. The regulations got put in. And now here we are all these years later, and the department seems rather unhappy that there's a lawsuit, but it's all a lawsuit. It's all there because we ask you not to. It's just seems silly that you put it in there. There was only a couple of entities that supported the illegal search and seizure in the first place. The authority for the regulations for falconers in California get their authority from the federal falconry regulations, which also gets their authority from the Migratory Bird Treaty Act. The Migratory Bird Treaty Act requires a warrant. So there is no authority for a warrantless search. There just isn't. No matter how far back you go or how you want to twist it and look at it, the illegal search or an inspection without a search warrant is simply illegal. You need to take it out of there, not just off of the license or the warning. Take it out altogether and make the whole thing legal. Don't be surprised that there's a lawsuit or upset that you have to spend so much money on a lawsuit. Just take it out. Do things legal like the rest of the world. I think I've said enough.
Thank you. We have David Kane with us from the department, and so I wanted to start out by asking whether there's anything you'd like to respond to from the comments today or anything you'd like to add.
Yes, thank you. Thank you. Can you hear me?
Yes, we can hear you.
Well, good morning, commissioners. Thank you for giving me the opportunity to speak. A couple of points that Mr. Stavrianoudakis raised. He mentioned the First Amendment conflict that would ensue with the federal regulations. You know, we're opposing the changes to the exhibiting provisions. I think that's what he's talking about, because a court had ruled that these were likely unconstitutional. So we subsequently entered into a stipulation that became a court order in which we agreed not to enforce those provisions. So we were just trying to comply with the court order and ask the commission to take those provisions off permanently. I think Mr. Stavrianoudakis, in fact, I'm certain that he mischaracterizes the Ninth Circuit's opinion. It did not say anything about the unannounced inspection regulation directly. What it ruled was that it affirmed a lower court's decision that Mr. Stavrianoudakis and the other plaintiffs don't have standing to pursue this lawsuit. It didn't opine on anything about whether or not it's valid, it's unconstitutional. This is beyond the discussion of today's regulations, but we know there's ample case law supporting it. We've only heard one side of this, and we're confident that it would pass constitutional muster. But that's not the issue before us today. We're not proposing any changes to this. We're proposing a narrowly tailored package that would hopefully get us out of this lawsuit. And, we're seeing some good results from it so far. We got a court order on April 21st that is staying the proceedings while the commission's rulemaking proceeds. And so what that means, at least for the next few months while the commission takes this up, is that we won't be continuing to bleed costs, litigation fees, staff time, all that. So we're getting some really positive results from the commission's efforts here. The other thing that the court mentioned is that it is inclined to agree that if the commission makes these changes that we're requesting, that it will actually make the remaining issue, which is the unannounced inspection certification, that it will make the lawsuit moot. So it's not a final order or decision by the court, but it does show what the court is thinking. So, you know, I fundamentally disagree with what Mr. Stavrianoudakis is saying. I think we're on the right track here. You know, I get that. This is a contentious issue, but by keeping this narrowly focused, hopefully we can just get out of this.
Thanks, David. Any additional comments from my fellow commissioners or other folks at the department? Stan?
Madam Chair, this came up at the committee. We had a long, exhaustive conversation over the issue. I want to thank the department for hearing the concerns that were raised at the dais that day from you and I. I really appreciate them reconsidering how broad, the regulations were and that they've narrowed it. And I do, as I said before, I hope that what we do here, both through the court case, as well as, continued dialogue with the Falconers, we can move away from, this ongoing litigation that's cost the department over $500,000. I hope we can get resolution sometime soon. So thank you.
Thanks, Commissioner Anderson. Others? Well, I would just echo those comments from Commissioner Anderson. We did have a larger conversation also with more participants, including from the Falconry community in California. And I think it's just important to acknowledge that this has been a long ongoing conversation, both in the context of this court case and beyond it. There's probably more to do. It's an ongoing topic, right? So this is not necessarily the end of conversation at all, but I want to appreciate and just reiterate what David King pointed to, which is that the current thing before us is relatively narrow, and it is focused on resolving the key issues that have been raised by the litigants and by this case. So this is just our discussion hearing today. This is an important chance to hear folks out and make sure that if there are other pieces to consider, we hear about them. But we don't have a motion today. And so unless anyone else has anything to add, we'll move on to the next agenda.
President Zavalata, we have someone here who would like to speak again.
Yeah, I think at this time, we need to keep our public comment opportunity the same for everyone. So I would be inclined to say we can't let folks continue the discussion at this point. And I would welcome I can't see on my screen who would like to make a comment, who would like to speak, but I would welcome, you're welcome to reach out to staff, to commissioners outside of the meeting context, if you'd like to continue the conversation. Okay.
We'll make sure that they have our contact information.
Thank you so much for that, Melissa. Okay. With that, we're going to move on to the next item on the agenda. This is item 4, Central Valley Sport Fishing. I'm going to turn it over first to David Vassell to invite public comment with an abbreviated version of the script, since we've been hearing it over and over. Although we do have a couple of folks who've joined new to the webinar, and then over to Ari to introduce the item.
Very good. Thank you, President Zavalata. Now is the time, if you'd like to speak on item 4, Central Valley Sport Fishing, please raise your hand no later than 10:40. If you're joining on the Zoom webinar, if you're joining on the Zoom webinar, please raise your hand no later than 10:40. Please raise your hand using the raise hand button on the app at the bottom of your screen. If you're joining by phone only and wish to raise your hand, please use *9. Again, if you're wishing to comment on item 4, Central Valley Sport Fishing, please raise your hand no later than 10:40. Thank you.
Annually, the Commission adopts Central Valley Sport Fishing regulations to align state regulations with federal recommendations made by the Pacific Fishery Management Council. Specific bag, position, and size limits scheduled for adoption now that the Pacific Fishery Management Council has reviewed the status of West Coast salmon stocks and final fishery allocation recommendations have been adopted. The department has developed draft proposed regulatory amendments for the commission to consider. This is the adoption hearing. And now to take us through a recap of the department's recommendation is Colby House of the department.
Good morning, everyone. Commissioners, commission staff, Director Bonham, department staff, and public participants. My name is Colby House. I serve as the Chinook Sport Fish Coordinator for Fisheries Branch. And yes, today I'm going to provide a little more clarity on the department's recommendation for 2025 Central Valley Sport Fishing Regulations. Next slide. So I gave this presentation at the April discussion meeting, there were some audio issues, so I'm just going to walk through some of the important new changes in this package, just so that they are abundantly clear to commissioners and the public. So I have those topics that I'm going to cover again highlighted here on this overview slide. They're bold, and they include our 2025 regulatory options, the new proposal we brought to the commission in April, which is a subsection change in the Feather River, and I'll go through our justification for this change. I'll reiterate the department's recommendations for 2025 inland fishing seasons and end on our justification for these recommendations. Next slide. So as a reminder, here are our 5 regulatory options to be considered by the commission. The first 3 include a 0-4 bag limit and a 0-12 possession limit and range from a fishery with no size restrictions, an adult and girls fishery, a girls only fishery, or as a 4th option, is a closed fishery, so no take or possession of Chinook. And as a 5th option, we're proposing to add flexibility in season length into regulations. So we described this change in both the notice and discussion hearings. I'm just going to go through this in a little bit more detail today. So next slide. So currently, season date ranges specific to Central Valley rivers and subsections are set in Title 14. There's really no flexibility for evaluating season timing and length on an annual basis. And so we're proposing to build in flexibility into fishing seasons, allowing us to adjust date ranges annually, which would enable the department to end seasons early, start them later, or a combination of the two. And this is in relation to the full seasons as currently written in regulations. So our main goal here is to minimize fishery impacts during poor conditions or lower forecasted return years. And so this means that in years when we think some fishing opportunity can occur, this would give us another tool to meet conservation objectives for spawner escapement, while also establishing protective measures to reduce potential incidental catch of non-target runs. So a few important details to note here. Season length would remain in the form of consecutive fishing days. And each year we would default back to the full season when considering our options for the fishery. So the full season ranges are the ones identified for each section as currently written in the regulations. And also importantly, full season ranges will apply to other species in sections where Chinook is, where take of Chinook is permitted. So in other words, if we truncate the season for salmon in a section where fishing for hatchery, steelhead, or trout occurs, full season will apply to those other species. And so on the right of the slide, I walk through an example of what this might look like. I'm not going to go through this because I will be discussing our actual proposals shortly. The next slide. And we did have one new proposal that we introduced to the commission at the April discussion hearing for the first time. This is a proposal to split the existing section E in the Feather River into 2 subsections, E and F. Next slide. So consistent with current regulations, Section E would still start just above the live oak boat ramp, but instead of continuing to the mouth of the Feather, it would end at the Highway 99 bridge, which is the first prominent feature anglers can easily identify as a boundary and makes up around 31 miles of river in this section. Subsection F would then begin at the bridge and continue to the mouth of the Feather. Next slide. So just to run through the justification for this change, splitting Section E into 2 subsections gives the department another tool for protecting fall run Chinook that are migrating up to the upper basin while still allowing angling opportunity on the lower Feather River in years where a fishery on the Feather is feasible. So the primary motivation for this proposal stems from our concern with the status of fall run returns to the upper Sacramento River, escapement to the upper basin, which has historically seen the highest returns in the valley, have hit record lows in the past 3 years. And we know that upper basin fall run can temporarily hold in lower sections of the American and Feather Rivers before continuing their spawning migration to the upper portions of the basin. We've seen this in Cotawire tag recoveries, showing that in some years, fall Chinook produced at Coleman National Fish Hatchery, which is located in the upper basin, are contacted in the Feather. So having the ability to close this new smaller subsection F gives us the option to have angling opportunity on the Feather while limiting contact with those temporarily holding sac fall on their way up to the upper basin. but it also prevents access to the main Sacramento River from the Feather River boundary. So this means that fall run passing by the mouth of the Feather in the main Sac would not be contacted, which also aids law enforcement by preventing anglers from being able to catch a salmon in the Sacramento River and then very easily move into the adjacent lower Feather River subsection. Otherwise, to prevent this, we would have to close the whole 40-mile stretch of Section E. So by splitting it up, we can now just preserve the majority of that lower area for fishing while still closing that last 9 miles of downstream section. Next slide. And as we previously discussed, and most are aware by now, the Pacific Fishery Management Council adopted recommendations to close ocean commercial salmon fisheries for the 2025 season, while opening a limited ocean recreational season spanning select days in specific zones from June through October. So I'm not going to go through these in detail again, but I just want to highlight that council guidance included an allocation of 8,000 Sacramento River Fall Chinook to the river fishery, resulting in a potential escapement of 147,700 Sac Fall adults. Next slide. So based on these outcomes, as well as the status of the SOC and inland fishery conditions, the department recommends a very limited inland fishery on just the tributaries that do not exceed a daily bag or possession limit of one Chinook. So this slide provides an overview of our recommendation. I'll walk through those specific rivers in detail shortly. But in summary, we recommend a complete closure of the main Sacramento River. This is including the Delta. Closures of specific sections on the Feather and American rivers, and then truncated seasons on all other sections of the Feather, American, and McCallumee, where take of Chinook is permitted. As for the truncated seasons, they vary by river and subsection, but overall, we chose dates that were based on run timing and typical river conditions. So our goal here was to protect the majority of the run during more favorable conditions for spawning. Next slide. Okay, so now I'm going to get into a bit more detail for each river. For the main Sac and the Delta, we're recommending that all sections are closed to the take and possession of Chinook. Again, this recommendation comes out of an abundance of caution for protecting fall run returning to the upper basin. This also adds protections for spring and winter run that may be holding or migrating through Sacramento during these fishery openers. Next slide. For the Feather River, we're recommending a daily bag and possession limit of one Chinook salmon in sections D and E, and then close to the take and possession of Chinook in sections F. Additionally, we're proposing to end seasons earlier in section D. And again, these season dates were chosen to be most protective of the peak of the run, allowing some fishing opportunity early in the season. And we're proposing to close this new subsection F for the reasons I previously discussed, so I won't go through those again. Next slide. For the American River, we're recommending a daily bag and possession limit of one Chinook salmon in sections B and C, and then close to the take and possession of Chinook in section D. So we're also proposing to end seasons earlier in sections B and C, and to close section D, we would, this is for also minimizing contact with Chinook migrating up the main San Sacramento River. Next slide. And lastly, we are recommending to keep all sections of the McCallumee open with a daily bag and possession limit of one Chinook, albeit with shortened seasons in each of these sections. And here we feel that a small fishery can be sustained on all sections of this river due to our increased production of McCallumee River fall Chinook and recently high returns to the basin. So there is some expectation that these fish will be returning, especially after 2 years of a closed fishery. Next slide. Apologies, this should say 2025 recommendations at the top. But just to go through our justification for our recommendation to close the main San Sacramento River, which includes the Delta. This is informed by a number of concerns regarding the status of Central Valley stocks, particularly fall run in the upper Sacramento Basin. So I mentioned this throughout the presentation. We've seen critically low adult returns in recent years, and I have some numbers on this slide just to provide a little bit more context. So in the past 3 years, fewer than 10,000 Sackfall adults returned to natural areas in the upper basin compared to the previous 10-year average of 45,000 adults. And in the same time frame, fewer than 20,000 hatchery and natural area combined adults returned to the upper basin, which is extremely low compared to the previous 10-year average of 68,500. So continued harvest of these upper basin returning fish could have lasting impacts on the ongoing rebuilding in this watershed. Additionally, this closure will have added benefits for adult spring and winter run Chinook salmon, both of which experienced extremely low returns in 2023 and 2024. For some context, returns were in the hundreds of fish for both spring and winter run last year, likely impacted by drought conditions in 2020 and 2021. So closure of the Sacramento would further limit contact with these runs that might be holding in certain areas of the Sacramento River. Next slide. And while ocean abundance forecasts were the lowest on record for 2025, NIMS guidance of 122,000 natural and hatchery area adult escapement does leave a small surplus for a very limited recreational fishery. And the department feels like it can provide this for a number of reasons. So for one, CDFW has increased hatchery production in the tributaries in recent years. There's some expectations those fish will be returning, especially considering the fishery closures in the past few years. And this combined with additional management tools, so changing season lengths, adding in these subsection changes to limit contact with those main stem migrating fish, this offers us more confidence in our ability to provide a limited fishing opportunity on the tributaries while still being adequately protective of spawning populations. Furthermore, this limited inland fishery provides some equity with the ocean sport fishery, which has also taken additional precautions to reduce over-harvest risk by employing in-season management tools to close the fishery if catch comes close or reaches harvest guidelines. Next slide. And that concludes my presentation. And I'm happy to take any questions now or move on to the Klamath if folks prefer.
Great, thanks, Colby. Questions from my fellow commissioners? Right. David, how many folks do we have for public comment on, well, I don't see any online. Is that right?
That's correct. We have no online speakers.
And do we have any speakers in any of the in-person locations?
Not in Sacramento.
Not in Sacramento. I'm going to assume none in Trinidad since they're not in meeting to tell us otherwise.
No,
not here. Sonoma.
None. Okay. Okay, so we have no commenters on this. Other comments or discussion from my fellow commissioners or anything that staff want to contribute? Okay, so I'll entertain a motion, please. Anyone who'd like to make it?
I'll move the commission finds that the negative declaration reflects the independent judgment of the commission, adopts the declaration, approves the proposed project pursuant to the California Environmental Quality Act, adopts option four of the proposed changes to subsection 7.4B, 4, 43, 66, and 80 related to Central Valley sports fishing regulation for the 2025 season with some limited take in the select water bodies and the new season dates as discussed today.
Second.
So we have a motion from Commissioner Squire, a second from Commissioner Anderson. David, roll call, please.
Commissioner Squire?
Aye.
Commissioner Anderson?
Aye.
Vice President Murray?
Aye.
President Zavaleta?
Aye. And the motion passes unanimously. So with that, we'll move to item five on our agenda, Klamath River Basin Sport Fishing. And we'll go first to David Vassell to invite public comment, and then over to Ari to lead us off.
Thank you, President Zavaleta. If you'd like to speak on item five, Klamath River Basin Sport Fishing, please raise your hand now, no later than 10:57. If you're participating on the Zoom webinar, please use the raised hand function. If you're on the phone, please use star 9 to speak on item 5, Klamath River Basin Sport Fishing, no later than 10:57. Thank you.
Annually, the Commission adopts Klamath River Basin Sport Fishing regulations for consistency with federal fishery management goals. Specific bag possession and size limits for salmon are scheduled for adoption now that the Pacific Fishery Management Council has reviewed the status of West Coast salmon stocks and final fishery allocation recommendations have been adopted. The department has developed draft proposed regulatory amendments for the commission to consider. This is the adoption hearing. And now to take us through a recap of the department's recommendation is Colby House of the department.
Hi, thank you again. I'll just launch into it. The next slide, please. Okay, so again, here we have an outline of the presentation I gave in April, bolded other sections that I'm going to briefly walk through today. And I'm just going to focus on our new important proposals, particularly related to the inclusion of the spring Chinook fishery in this package. So I'm going to go through proposed regulatory options for 2025 fishing season and CDFW's fishery recommendations and justification for these recommendations. Next slide. Okay, so this slide outlines our two new proposals, which we discussed in the April meeting, but again, I'll just briefly walk through those. So we're proposing to exclude the newly available habitat above Iron Gate Dam from our annual regulatory options. So this area would not be considered for taking Chinook salmon. And consistent with last year's regulations, we propose that Section A, Klamath River from the state line to Kopko Road, is closed to the take and possession of Chinook salmon. And the remaining section of the Klamath, as well as the anadromous portions of Shovel, Jenny, Fall, and Scott Creeks, are closed to fishing all year. So importantly, we will continue to evaluate these sections on an annual basis. And we do plan to incorporate these sections under the annual fall fishery regulation considerations in the future, but only once we determine the take of Chinook can be supported in these habitats. So we also propose to move the Klamath River spring Chinook regulations under the Klamath River Basin Sport Fish Package to be evaluated on an annual basis. So again, currently the spring Chinook fishery regulations roll over year to year and can only be adjusted in a separate rulemaking. So we're also proposing to shift away from a fixed bag and possession limit over to a range. So this would include a 0-1 bag and a 0-2 possession limit across all subsections of the Klamath and Trinity where take of spring Chinook is currently permitted, or to have the option to close the fishery. And just to note that there are no changes to season dates or geographic areas in this proposal. And the purpose here is to incorporate more flexibility in managing the spring fishery based on environmental and fishery conditions. It allows us to set more appropriate harvest regulations or easily close the fishery or sections of for fishing when greater protections are needed without having to go through a whole separate emergency rulemaking. Next slide. So as a reminder, the department recommends a full closure of the 2025 Klamath River Fall Chinook and Klamath River Spring Chinook in-river recreational fishery. And under this recommendation, the department is allocating the Klamath River Fall Chinook sport fishery quota to spawner escapement. Next slide. And here I'm just going to focus on our justification for the spring fishery closure, which is largely informed by our overall conservative approach for managing Chinook returning to the Klamath Basin. In the April meeting, I had discussed fall Chinook declines and poor outlook for returns in 2025, which serve as the basis for our recommendation to close the in-river fall fishery. And it would be negligent not to be equally protective of spring Chinook, considering that fall and spring Chinook overlap in ocean and freshwater distributions. They experience very similar challenges in each environment. And freshwater challenges are further magnified for spring Chinook due to their earlier run timing, often having to oversummer in suboptimal conditions. Spring Chinook are CISLA listed, highly vulnerable to drier climate due to their reliance on these high elevation habitats that are largely degraded or inaccessible. So for these reasons, it's very important that we take extra precautions when it comes to exploiting these stocks. Next slide. And with that, thank you for your attention. I'm happy to take any questions.
Thanks again, Colby. Do we have any questions from fellow commissioners? Okay, David, do we have folks for public comment online? I don't see any.
We once again have no speakers online.
Okay, and do we have speakers in person in Sacramento?
No.
Any of the other in-person locations on this item? No. Okay. Seeing no other comment, I think we can go straight to the motion.
I move that the commission finds that the negative declaration reflects the independent judgment of the commission and adopts the declaration, approves the proposed project pursuant to the California Environmental Quality Act, and adopts option two of the proposed changes to section 7.40B50 related to the Klamath Basin sport fishing regulations for the 2025 season and spring fishery.
Second.
So we have a motion from Commissioner Anderson, a second from Commissioner Squire. David, roll call, please.
Commissioner Anderson?
Aye.
Commissioner Squire?
Aye.
Vice President Murray?
Aye.
President Zavaleta?
Aye. And the motion passes unanimously. This takes us to item six on the agenda for general public comment for items not on the agenda. And once again, I'll hand it over to David Cassell to invite public comment. And I guess I will go ahead and introduce the item after that. David, please.
Well, thank you, President Zavaleta. Now's the time if you wish to provide comment, the general public comment for items not already on this agenda. Please raise your hand no later than 11:04. Again, using the raise hand function on the Zoom app, or if you're joining by phone only, please use the *9 function to raise your hand to indicate you'd like to speak on item six, general public comment, again, for items not already on this agenda. Thank you.
Great, thanks, David. So this item, David's already said it twice, but this is to receive public comment regarding topics within the commission's authority that are not on today's agenda. And I just want to remind folks that we can't discuss or take action on matters that are raised during this item other than to decide potentially whether to place the matter on the agenda at a future meeting. But it is an opportunity for us and for participating staff at the department as well to hear what the public have to contribute and would like to provide at our meetings. David, I did not hear, I'm sorry, was 11:03 or 11:02? You're cut
11:03.
11:03. Okay. So while we are waiting to ensure we've provided the full time for folks to sign up, I'd like to just start asking folks whether there are individuals participating in person in Sacramento who would like to provide public comment on this item. Sacramento?
We have two.
Two. San Diego or Sonoma?
No.
Excuse me. None. Trinidad?
None.
Okay. And we have one here in Santa Cruz. So, looks like we have two online, unless anyone else raises their hand at the last moment here. So we have five in all. And I'd like to ask folks to go 2 minutes, please. And we can start with in-person participants in Sacramento.
Thank you. And President Zavaleta, please want to let you know that we did advise the individuals who are planning to speak here in Sacramento that their comments need to be outside the subject matter that we've already discussed with the other agenda items, and they are fully aware of that and plan to do so.
Thank you.
Hello, Peter Stavrianidakis. Again, I'm speaking to a falconry regulation, not one has been previously discussed. There is a regulation currently that prohibits people who do not own their own homes or residences to become falconers. And that's a proviso that requires the consent to search a person's residence by the landlord. Landlords can't give legal consent to search a tenant's residence, yet the regulation requires they get the consent in writing from the landlord to search the residence, the proposed falconer's residence. It's unenforceable if Fish and Wildlife went to the landlord of someone's home and said, I want to search that home. That person couldn't give consent, but the regulation requires consent, which is prohibitive of poor people without the financial wherewithal to own their own home, if the only residence they have is one in which a landlord won't give consent for searches.
Thank you.
No law enforcement agency, any law enforcement agency, can get consent from someone that doesn't have the authority to give it to search a premises. I would ask the commission to put this on the agenda, or at least to submit it to council to review whether or not such a proviso is, one, stopping potential Falconers or Californians from getting a license because their current landlord won't sign a document giving consent to search property they own but have no control of or the ability to give consent. Thank you.
Thank you. I'm honored to address the commission. As I brought up last month about...
Sorry, could you just introduce yourself for folks who didn't catch who you are?
Oh, thanks. My name is Carl Kirster. I'm a Falconer. I have sponsored more new Falconers than anyone else in the state. About 10% of current licensed Falconers are people that I have sponsored. And I currently have over two dozen apprentices and 100 more, roughly, people who may or may not be in the process, but that I have offered sponsorship to. So as I brought up to the commission last month, the issue of problems with the test in California, the test questions that are in error have not been addressed, and the test should be pulled. The commission is the appropriate place to tell the agency if they need to pull the test from use because of errors on the test. The errors on the test, of course, violate the rights and cheat anybody who takes the test and anybody who potentially would take the test, which is everyone except for the 700 currently licensed Falconers in California, that to continue to use a test knowing that there are mistakes on it. And by the way, nobody has reached out to me in the last month to talk about correcting those mistakes. I would ask that the commission put this on the docket for some time in the future. Thank you very much for your time.
Okay, thank you. We're going to move it back over here to Santa. Shift the computer over so that you can see our speaker. You're on your own. Okay.
Very good. Thank you, everyone. My name is Keith Rutzart. I'm the Giant Kelp Restoration Project, and I'm here in San Cruz to spend a little time and hopefully talk a little bit about my own issues, if Mr. Zablota will indulge me. But I sometimes wonder when I come to these meetings if I'm in the right place, you know, not Santa Cruz necessarily, but like, it seems like the mission of the commission is to, there's a lot of attention on terrestrial issues and not really much on marine issues. And it seems like we're just trying to slow the extinction of species here and not really do much for them. And what I'm trying to do is do restoration, which is a square peg in a round hole. It just is not really something that's done here. And it's like, I wish we could. I'm trying to come through this way, but I think it's really a difficult fit. And it's something that I think we need to evolve the commission to be, to have that in the wheelhouse of what we do. And also too, I just want to extend the opportunity. I've said it before in writing to all the commissioners is that I want to get to know you. You know, I am curious about what you do and where you're coming from. And I want to have these conversations. You know, I recently went to the California Oceans Day and I was able to hang out with Commissioner Murray and Professor Murray and her master's students and get to know them, you know. And I want to extend the invitation to Mr. Sklar and Darius Anderson, Darren Sonoma. Seems like they've got together. And yeah, it's commissioners are real people, you know. They have real jobs besides this, and I just want to kind of encourage everybody who's listening to just to be civil and to be appreciative of the role that they play here, but that it's an important job, and that we need to do our best to treat people as people. James.
All right. That concludes our in-person comments, and I'll pass it over to you, David, to call our Zoom participants.
Absolutely. We have two participants on Zoom. We have Jeff Ellsworth, followed by Katie O'Donnell. Jeff Ellsworth, go ahead, please.
Can you hear me?
Yes, we can.
Thank you very much. Hello, Fish and Game Commission board and staff. My name is Jeff Ellsworth, former mayor of the small city of St. Helena, Napa Valley, Napa County, from 2018 to 2022, and now a member of California LULAC, the League of United Latin American Citizens, the largest Hispanic organization in the United States advancing civil rights for all. I want to bring your attention to a matter of significant concern in Upper Napa Valley, Napa County, involving Upper Valley Disposal Service and Clover Flat Landfill, a local garbage and compost operation with two fire and leak-prone waste sites with a long history of fires, violations, and contamination incidents, including with unregulated radioactive waste and impacts to Latino workers at the sites. This is a public safety and civil rights matter I'm requesting a public hearing on with sworn testimony. Recent water board investigations, unfortunately, did not include all relevant documentation and failed to interview all key witnesses. There are significant wildlife and habitat concerns with the ongoing fire and contamination incidents and risks related to these sites in the Napa Valley watershed connected to Napa County waterways and water sources in or in close proximity to CAL FIRE high wildfire severity zones. The civil rights concerns in this case of interest to the League of United Latin American Citizens pertain to discriminatory practices towards the primarily Latino UVDS workforce, including being tasked to fight reoccurring fires with contaminated wastewater without adequate training or protective equipment, as well as Latino employees exposed to unregulated radioactive waste and employee death due to substandard infrastructure and other unsound workplace practices, putting the entire Napa Valley community and local environment and habitat at risk. Again, I'd like to request a public hearing with sworn testimony to be agendized on this matter with this board or a sub-board at the soonest possible time. Thank you.
Katie O'Donnell, go ahead, please.
Can you hear me?
Yes, we can.
Great. Thank you so much. Good morning, President Zavaleta and commissioners. I'm Katie O'Donnell, representing Wild Coast, an international coastal and marine conservation organization based in San Diego. I'm commenting today to raise awareness of a recent issue that has emerged in San Diego. Right now, the San Dieguito Lagoon Inlet in Del Mar is on the verge of closure due to sand migration from the Solana Beach Replenishment Project. We've seen catastrophic die-offs in other lagoon systems like San Alejo and the Tijuana River estuary within 72 hours of an inlet closure, and San Dieguito is headed for the same fate if the inlet closes. Because the San Dieguito SMCA would be directly impacted by an inlet closure and any resulting die-off, we wanted to flag this to the commission. San Dieguito could be home to federally listed endangered species like the California least tern, snowy plover, and light-footed ridgeway rail, and fish species like the California halibut. Wild Coast is actively monitoring the situation with partner organizations, local cities, and CDFW to try to resolve this issue before the inlet fully closes off. I want to take this opportunity to thank CDFW for their quick responses to our outreach about this issue and for flagging this for Southern California Edison, who is responsible for keeping the channel mouth open. Specifically, I would like to thank Dr. Schumann, Gabriel Penaflor, and Andy Chambers for their partnership and shared concern of this issue. We greatly appreciate the department's action because inaction would lead to another lagoon dying off, jeopardizing species that rely on these lagoons and wasting countless resources used to protect these habitats and marine protected areas. We are looking forward to continuing to coordinate with CDFW and local partners and cities to ensure that the San Dieguito Lagoon Inlet remains open. Thank you so much for this time.
And with that, President Zavaleta, we have no further speakers on this item.
Thanks, and thanks to all our speakers. I want to ask whether our fellow commissioners, you have any questions or comments? All right, and I'll just ask briefly, this might be a question for Executive Director Miller Hansen. Jeff Ellsworth and the issue he's speaking about in St. Helena, is that something that, can you direct him to the appropriate agency you might reach out to pursue that? That my sense is that that's not a commission. That's not an area that we cover.
Yeah, exactly. And I was briefly having a quiet conversation off to the side with Assistant Chief Pelsman here in the room as Jeff was speaking. So yes, we will definitely touch base with Jeff and share with him suggestions for those agencies that do have jurisdiction and that would be appropriate for such a hearing.
Okay, thanks.
And actually, President Zavaleta, if please, I might, living in San Diego and in North County, San Diego, I definitely have been hearing a lot about the Sandiguita Lagoon. So I wondered if there's anything, any role for us to play. It sounds like Dr. Schumann has been involved. Katie referenced Craig in her comments. And maybe is there anything else that Craig wants to add or anything that else that we should know about our particular role in that issue?
You're the chair.
Dr. Schumann, go ahead.
Thank you, Vice President Murray. So yes, we are aware of the issue. This is within Region 5's jurisdiction, and they are actively working with the property owner and the responsible party to keep tabs on this and to try to prevent any negative ecological implications that could result of the estuary closing. So I don't think there's a role for you at this point, but we can certainly keep you posted as the situation progresses.
Okay. Yeah, thanks for your engagement, for keeping an eye on it. Appreciate it.
Yeah, thanks. And I appreciate the shout outs of gratitude to both the department and the commission from speakers today. If there are not further comments, I just want to thank everyone for participating today and call the May 14th teleconference meeting of the California Fish and Game Commission to a close. Thanks, everyone, for participating. All right. Goodbye.
Bye.